Good afternoon, Senator Saviello, Representative Hamper, the committee.
First of all, as a forester, you
just so you know, tell everybody who you are.
Sorry, Anthony Howerhan with J.D. Irving Limited. I'm a forester and I work on special projects related to our timberlands across the company. As you can probably tell, I'm sure my color is quite bright by now, and I've been in a suit jacket all day. I'm much more comfortable in my flannel, especially on a day like today. I'm sure we'd all prefer to be outside.
But I understand as a fellow forester.
And as a forester, I thought I'd bring a map, a little bigger version than what you've got.
Maybe you can just put it right up in front for now. There you go. That's good. Can everybody see that, kind of? If not, just come on over. Bring your chair over this way.
Yeah, you can stand and present
sure.
Or hide behind it.
Yes, sir, whatever you'd like to do.
So just a little background. As Jim Mitchell mentioned, my role at the company as a forester, I practiced forestry for about 15 years with J.D. Irving Limited throughout our operations in eastern Canada and Maine. I ran the operations in northern Maine for 5 years and lived up in Eagle Lake as a distant neighbor of Representative Martin.
There is a brief break in recording.
Related to our lands, whether they're here in Maine or in New Brunswick or Nova Scotia, and see what we could tie in to for other sources of employment, economic development that didn't impact our core business of forest products and long-term sustainability. And what I've got up here is exactly what's in your packet, just a larger scale version of where Bald Mountain is. And some of you would be familiar with it, but the Bald Mountain deposit is located roughly 11 miles as the crow flies from Portage, Maine, about 17 miles west of Ashland. And I think we've indicated it's roughly 157 miles from Searsport. And very well developed area from a logging road perspective. We're approximately 11 miles from the northern rail juncture that the state bought last year. Good rail access to Searsport as well to other facilities. So a bit of what, when I was working up in the county, I kept hearing references to Bald Mountain, and we still have all the cores that were ever done since the 1970s up until the final folks worked the deposit, Black Hawk Mining, back, I believe it was 1996, they attempted to permit it to mine the gold and silver. There's been 179,000 linear feet of core taken. That's still all in storage with all the appropriate records, which I thought was just amazing, not being from a geology background, but the fact that that was all kept. And since we own about 7/8 of that township, the other 1/8 ownership is with Prentice and Carlisle. So we've different conversations over the years with folks from Prentice and Carlisle, and David Carlisle in particular. We would get inquiries from companies from across the U.S. and Canada about the deposit. Prentice and Carlisle will get similar ones. So we talked to the Mr. Irving and his father at length about what should we do with this stuff, and you know, we decided let's have a look at it and see if there is something viable there that is environmentally responsible over the long term. So after four or five different companies came in and had a look at it, we looked at the data. I would inquire as to what their thoughts were. It became very clear that Maine was not ranked that high as far as their perception of being able to get a site like this permitted. And many of the folks we dealt with, and the commissioner alluded to expertise in Maine, most of the geologists and the mining engineers I dealt with that came from these companies had resided in Maine back in the 70s, 80s, and have moved on because of the lack of activity. Many of them still summer here in the state or have family here. So discussing it with them, we got some ideas from them of where they saw potential barriers to being able to do much with Bald Mountain in particular. So we engaged with the data we had on hand, went out and engaged a gentleman by the name of Peter Jones, who was a former CEO of Hudbay Mining as well as some other mining companies, had experience in Michigan with Rio Tinto, and asked him to take a look at the data and tell us what would a mine at Bald Mountain look like. We, as a forester and with the Irvings, they've had some peripheral involvement with mines over the years, but not directly. He did up a kind of a three-tier scenario for us of what it might look like, what the potential would be if you could get it permitted, if the climate was right from an economic perspective, an environmental perspective. And so we took that data, passed it on to Charles Lawton at Decision Planning and said, tell us what the economics, just a very high level, 10,000 foot level looks like. Is this something we should even be chasing? And he came back with some numbers, some of which Representative Martin quoted in his op-ed in the Bangor Daily, and that's the upper end, you know, potentially up to 700 jobs, potentially, Representative Viatt asked the question, and I believe it was you, about long-term pricing, and that's a huge risk in this business, as anyone knows. And so once we had this information, we said, well, what's missing now is what's the environmental aspect, and what's the real design and criteria in that at a 10,000-foot level. So at that point, we went out and engaged Jim Butler from Parsons Baylor to have a look at how does Maine's laws and rules compare to other states, and is what we're hearing realistic. Along with him, Bob Ingersoll, a mining engineer from Tetra Tech, who's worked at very similar deposits across the world and in the U.S. So we talked about what are the environmental issues. And really, what we learned is that there are some challenges in what was adopted in 1991, and then with the preceding the rules that went with that. Things have significantly changed since 1991, but not necessarily on mining technology, but on planning, on modeling, and on environmental controls. So basically, we've gone about this. We've, as Jim Mitchell discussed, talked to Commissioner Beardsley a few times over the last year or so on some field trips, forestry-related in northern Maine. Come to find out, he was quite interested in some of our deer yards. It's where he did his PhD work with International Paper many years ago. So luckily, on the day we saw deer leave where he had done his work, so we've obviously done quite well.
Found
the one. Yeah, that's right. But it was in the right place that day. So. So really for us with Bald Mountain, we're taking a hard look at, is there a way to sustainably develop this? And Representative Martin and Jim Mitchell have both said, Mr. Irving has given us the direction, have a hard look at it. If it can't be done right, leave it in the ground. It's been there this long, and it'll stay there. We're there for the long term. You know, his father started his career in Maine on the river drives to St. John, has walked every foot of the St. John River from Nine Mile Bridge down to St. John for 12 or 15 years running. And their interest is certainly on the long term. So we've taken a hard look at it to this point, but what we understand at this point that the first step is if we can see changes in legislation in Maine that folks feel that would allow permitting in a reasonable fashion, then we can start the process of looking at the viability of a mine at Bald Mountain. And that might be a much smaller scale than what the 700 jobs would be. It could be in the middle, it could be the big one, or it might be nothing. But from my understanding, and certainly as a layman, the next step is there's millions of dollars of work to be done, even to get to permitting stage. There has to be re-drilling done, baseline monitoring. All that was done in the 70s and 80s, but that's been a long time ago. So our intent is certainly to, if we feel that there is a reasonable chance of permitting the site at Bald Mountain, that we would go out, seek some professional help, such as we have on this, and start the process of looking at if there is a viable opportunity at Bald Mountain, with no commitments, but we understand we're a few years away from when there is legislation and lawmaking to getting a background to determine if there is a viable operation at Bald Mountain or not.
Questions? Representative Duchesne.
Thank you, Senator. Before we start getting those panicked emails from constituents, what actually happens to the mountain if this goes forward?
Well, it's actually a bit of a...
Sorry, just a leaf.
Sure.
Yes, sit down, please. Thank you.
The mountain itself is, the deposit itself is actually located on the side of the mountain. So what happens in the case of Bald Mountain, the initial engineering plans that were done in the past that I've looked at, and certainly seems to be the, for this type of deposit that's not a long way beneath the surface, it would be a pit mine. So basically similar to quarries, but with a different, a deeper hole over time. And it would be on the side of what they term as Bald Mountain. And Representative Martin could probably answer this, but the true Bald Mountain is a bit south of that. Is that correct?
Yes. So.
Other questions? Senator.
A prior question, goals around $1,700 an ounce, but that's not my question. For tomorrow, this is an elongated a fault. It isn't really a nugget in the ground, is it? Or is it that the only location? What I'm getting at is what is the footprint going to be? You might talk about that tomorrow, kind of preliminary thing.
It would have to be determined again based on what was deemed viable. But my understanding, just looking at stuff that was done back from Chevron and Superior Mining back in the 70s and 80s, is that the entire deposit is roughly 2,500 feet long. So it's not, it's not like a long continuous strip, but it's, and I'm not the guy to my couple of courses of geology in university, I should pay closer attention, but it really is a pocket, almost a bubble that formed from the volcanic activity is my understanding.
But was part of this, this is probably not on point, but Great Northern one time had an assessment when they owned that land. This is part of the Great Northern assessment there early on with Cummings?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and this was Cummings that discovered this in the 70s. And gold was 1694 this morning, so I just haven't seen it.
As we talk about this, keep in mind it's Bald Mountain, but this is a broader perspective. This is not just Bald Mountain. As we deal with this legislation, we're dealing with mining, and they happen to be the people that have come forward to bring it to us. So, but just keep that in mind as you ask questions. So Representative Hyatt and Representative Parker?
You know, the footprint that impresses me is 700 jobs, but just getting out, the company must have determined that the purity and the concentration of this ore must be well worth the effort and the money.
The company employed Peter Jones, the gentleman I was talking of, looked at the earlier assay data that was done in the 70s and 80s.
Right.
And based on the volume that was there, he gave us two or three different scenarios, assuming a certain price over the next, I think he modeled it out 10 or 12 years. The big unknowns are, from what I understand it, back when the original companies looked at it, there was to be very little wastewater treatment, if any. Today, you know, you wouldn't even dream of doing something without wastewater. So there's a huge capital expenditure related to that. But certainly our intent would be the next step if things change and we thought we could permit it, is to revisit all this and see if it is viable. But that's at initial, and again, at a 10,000-foot level using 30-year-old data with holes in it, that's kind of the range of what we came up with.
Well, 700 jobs is quite impressive.
And where my understanding, and Charles Lawton had done this, but basically running through what we said direct jobs would be, looking at states like Michigan, and then adjusting it for Maine through some of these models that they use, that's where the number came for the spin-offs with it.
Representative Parker.
Well, this isn't a question, just general comments. Okay. I worked at a company with John Cunningham back in the late 70s when he found three or four good sites. This was an exciting site. He also found the Alder Township was a very exciting site. And I was actually part of the team, went ahead and got a permit for that back at that time, and then mineral prices dropped through the floor. But another little comment I wanted to make is I also had an opportunity with him in New Brunswick to spend several evenings in meetings with J.D. Irvin, the old man himself.
Oh, yes.
And it's that philosophy that really impressed me. He didn't do anything for the short term. He was a very powerful man, but he also had long vision into the future. So I think that's done well for his company. So I just wanted to compliment him indirectly. He's not here anymore, but that way.
And it's very much a family value that's passed down. So.
Other questions? You'll be here tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I guess we're ready for Mr. Doyle.